Good afternoon and welcome to Power for the People here on Solar Power WERU-FM 89.9 in Bangor and in Blue Hill and everywhere in our solar system at WERU.org. I'm your host, Steve Kahl, and I'm pretty sure I'm accurate in saying that this program is pretty close to the 10-year anniversary of me doing Power for the People here on WERU. So hard to believe time has flown in that sense. It feels like it's only been 9.5 years. With the sudden demise in the 30% tax credit for solar power by the Trump administration, I think it is timely to address here on Power for the People the status of the solar industry in Maine and in the U.S., and in this particular case, with a knowledgeable insider from a Maine solar company. A major goal of mine in this discussion is to make the case for the ongoing importance and especially the economic advantages of solar power for the U.S. and for the state of Maine, as, frankly, the rest of the world continues to adopt renewable energy. And I think we can arrive at the conclusion, Aaron, and I'll introduce you in here in just a second, that the end of the solar tax credit is not the end of solar for America or for the state of Maine. And that does follow up on a conversation that we had at the Common Ground Fair. So with that lead-in, my guest today is Aaron Carterfield, Director of Business Development for Maine Solar Solutions in Freeport. Welcome, Aaron.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm really pleased to get you on. You and I had a great conversation at the Common Ground Fair in September and talked about all sorts of different things. Thanks for the time for that. And that actually resulted in me extending the invitation to be a guest here on Power for the People. In the interest of full disclosure, Maine Solar Solutions installed a solar PV panel on my home in June, although frankly that has nothing really to do with my invitation to Aaron to be a guest here. So Aaron, again, Director of Business Development for Maine Solar Solutions, tell us a little bit more about your background, how perhaps you came to Maine Solar Solutions, and tell us a little bit more about Maine Solar Solutions.
I started working in the solar industry in Massachusetts. It was close to 10 years ago now. I worked for Solar City, which was a company started by Elon Musk and then bought by Tesla. I worked there for a couple of years as an installer, as a surveyor, and then I got fired along with 9% of the company. I think Elon Musk let the vast majority of the field staff that I in the Northeast go at one time. And I always wanted to move to Maine, and I met Sam Zuckerman and came to work for Maine Solar Solutions about a little over eight years ago, about 8.5 years ago. At the time, Sam was running a pretty small business with a bunch of subcontractors, and I was the first real salaried employee or employee on the books. We had a lot of fun growing the business. At that time, Maine was solar was pretty unknown, nobody really knew what was what the finances looked like and what the benefits were, and the long term return on investment was around 14 or 15 years. In some cases, we sold systems with 17-year returns, right, where it takes 17 years for a system to pay for itself. And we, we sort of grew a business around education and consultative approach, right? I measured every roof for many years before we sat down with folks and had conversations. So we, come to those conversations with full information. Now there's lots of tools at our disposal in the industry to find ways to propose systems. But we now run a business that does 30 to 40 installs a month, all over the state. And the return on investment before the tax credit went away was close to 10 years. So it's a very different world than it was 8 years ago. And I'm excited to sort of talk about the loss of the tax credit, what that means and the future of the industry and sort of where I see this going, with the sort of eight, nine years behind me of sort of watching the trajectory of the market in Maine and the market nationally.
And so I said a few minutes ago that we can hopefully arrive at the conclusion that the end of the solar tax credit is not the end of the industry. It sounds like you're on board with that idea.
Absolutely. I don't think it's too much of an exaggeration to say that the solar industry is inevitable, and that there's not many things that can get in the way of its growth and sort of the inevitable nature of using the sun to power our lives. So it's, you know, we see these barriers that come up, like the loss of an incentive or tariffs. There's lots of barriers that have come up over the last 10 years that I've been in this industry, and we find our way over every single one of them. It's really just a thing that makes sense to make power from this. So, we call it the solar coaster in the industry. but the truth is that it's like almost any other industry that is grounded and founded in something that is really valuable. It's just a matter of figuring out the new way to make that make sense.
Right. That solar is the thing that makes sense. And I certainly agree with that. I think I mentioned when we talked at the Common Ground Fair that I was actually a member of the Maine Solar Energy Association back in the 1980s when it cost a fortune to do it. But I just said, my God, that this makes so much sense. And on the numbers today are that, you know, the sun kicks in whatever it is, hundreds of terawatts of power, and we use 20 as a population. And so it produces more power in a given day than we use in a year by a long shot. So I totally agree that it makes an awful lot of sense. So you mentioned briefly, I think, that Maine Solar Solutions does work statewide now, not just in southern Maine, which is what I thought before we talked. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, for a long time, we were mostly southern Maine. We sort of operated below Route 2. But that's changed recently. We now go down into Bar Harbor and well up past Bangor. That's been brought about, you know, in some part by the loss of the tax credit and sort of wanting to reach out into the rest of the state and having the capacity to do so. And in other ways that we've grown has a lot to do with our off-grid business, right? We do a lot of off-grid work, and that work inherently is farther north. And so we've been stretching that boundary every year for a couple of years now, and it just sort of felt right to open things up. So that's where we are.
How big is your company? How many staff do you have?
We have just under 50 people working here. We have three crews operating every day out there on different sites installing solar. And then we also have an off-grid crew that operates off-grid sites. We do a lot less off-grid work as there's just less demand for it in the state. But I think we do a lot more than most companies, both in the state and nationally, certainly nationally.
Mm-hmm. You know, the unfortunate thing is, and I guess I know the answer, is that solar power is a political issue. You know, when you arrived in Maine, the governor was completely anti-solar. Yes. And the numbers that I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but there were thousands of solar jobs elsewhere in New England, and there were like 200 in the state of Maine because of politics. And here we are again with politics. And I'm pleased to say that you guys find ways to get things. You the industry find ways to get things done. And I think the phrase that solar is inevitable, I'm going to put that in my pocket and repeat, because I felt that way for years, without a doubt. And as I said a minute ago, I just put solar on my house this year for a variety of reasons relative to the roof and shading and trees that I had to deal with. But I did it partly for the solar tax credit expiring. But that wouldn't slow me down in the big picture. And in fact, yes, I just did it this year on my house, but my camp, my lake camp, I put solar on there 11 years ago, and I haven't rented an electron since. You know, I've been net zero for 11 years, and it feels great. So part of it is, it feels so good to be doing this, above and beyond the practical nature of the economics. So the bottom line is that supports the solar inevitable part. Probably, as you just said, the solar PV is the least expensive way to generate electricity and has been, as I understand it, from 2018 or 2019. You want to comment on that, especially relative to the state of Maine and our climate?
Yeah, one of the sort of classic barriers that we get when we're talking to folks is like, hey, Maine doesn't have good sun, right? If I lived in Arizona, I'd definitely get solar. But the truth is, when you look at this, you know, how these markets are developed globally, Germany is one of the places that has the most solar installed in the world. They got sort of to 100%, as close to 100% as they could very, very quickly out there. And they have the same sun as Oregon and Washington State, which is significantly worse than Maine. So it's really not about the quality of the sun. It's about the effectiveness of the panels. And the change that's happened over the last decade, really, the 5 years before the last 5 years was the most dramatic change in the solar industry as far as panel efficiency goes. Those changes drove things to a place where I don't think there's anywhere in the world where solar doesn't make sense as far as energy production and the cost of energy production.
Right. I certainly agree. You're listening to Power for the People here on WERU-FM 89.9 in Blue Hill and in Bangor. My guest today is Aaron Carterfield, the Director of Business Development for Maine Solar Solutions in Freeport. And we're talking about the future of the solar industry. And I think we have already agreed, and we'll flesh this out a little bit more, that solar power makes incredible sense even after the solar tax credit goes away at the end of this year. But you also alerted me in our conversation at the Maine Common Ground that the residential tax credit is going away as of January 1. But there is a commercial tax credit that extends beyond that and opens up other opportunities. Let's talk about that for a bit.
Yeah. So the solar tax credit is available to commercial entities moving forward through the end of 2026 as of right now. It's important to add that disclaimer, right? These rules have changed pretty dramatically over the last year. We've seen rule changes threatened before, but never really followed through on. But the amount of change that's happened recently makes it very clear that there's a lot of change that could happen moving forward. So specifically, the solar tax credit being available for commercial entities applies to any project that is installed in 2026 with FEOC compliant product. So FEOC stands for the Foreign Entity of Control. So this is where the tariff rules come into play, and what product is being installed is important. Tax credit is only applicable to those products that are compliant with the tariff rules. I think the best way to sort of talk about that and flesh that concept out is to say that there's basically none of the parts can be made in China in any capacity. So there's a lot of manufacturing being developed in the United States based on the tariffs that went in place during the Biden administration. And so as those facilities come online, there's less and less pressure and more of this FEOC compliant product available. As residentials, primarily, we do some small commercial at Maine Solar Solutions, but primarily we are a residential installer. So, it's a good question would be sort of, why do I know about this commercial tax credit? Why do I care about it? We install in residential homes. So there is a sort of a, for lack of a better word, a workaround here, right? So if the residential system is owned by a commercial entity, it still is applicable for the solar tax credit. It's a financial vehicle, not something that has anything to do with the home. So we are partnered with, at this point, two different companies that are developing products to allow us to sell a system where it's being placed on the home and owned by a commercial entity. One of the big barriers to that kind of a product in Maine is that you don't own your own system. And that's not something that Mainers really get behind. In our experience, selling all over this state for a decade, there's very little interest in renting or leasing systems. The vast majority of our sales are cash sales. And that's juxtaposed against the rest of the country, where it is exactly the opposite. Mainers are unique in that they want to own their own means of production. They want to really be invested fully and own this product and all of its benefits. So these products were hard for us to sort of partner with until they started coming out with pathways to ownership. So a lot of these commercial products where we're sort of selling the product, it's on the homeowner's house, but they don't own it. After the fifth year, they have the opportunity to purchase the system. And really it's fundamentally different than a lot of other products where you can purchase it, but you're purchasing it at an inflated rate. This is, you're just purchasing basically the rest of the loan. So there's a fixed amount that you're sort of eating through over 5 years, and then you buy out the rest of the fixed amount and you own it outright. So this product is something we're really excited about. I think that it's going to fit Maine really well. It allows us to access this tax credit for at least one more year, we hope. And it's important to say that it's a piece of our business that we're interested in. And we think that it's going to allow us to grow as a company. but it's not necessary for our industry to survive. It's not necessary for our business to survive. And so, I don't know sort of where we're going next, but I'd like to talk a little bit about the rising cost of electricity in Maine and why that's true. Why, you know, something like the loss of the tax credit isn't a sort of harbinger of doom for the industry.
Well, I definitely want to go there. But before we leave the continuing commercial tax credit, are there is commercial installations? Are commercial installations a part of your business plan now and the plan going forward?
Yes, we do. We do install on business, small and medium sized businesses. We don't do large solar fields or anything like that. We sort of intentionally stayed away from installations like that. That's a whole nother conversation. We could do a whole nother radio spot on if you'd like. There's a lot of nuance there about where the money goes and who benefits from those arrays. But we do install on, you know, basically someone owns a business and they've got a big roof or they've got their own field that they own and control. We do those sort of installs. Usually that sits between, you know, a quarter of a megawatt and 2 megawatt systems. Mm-hmm. At this point, the rules have just changed. And any system we do of that size, you know, on a commercial building will be less than a megawatt.
Okay. And does that mean that the 2026 tax credit, does that mean that the business would get the tax credit or you guys still need to get it?
Correct. The business gets the tax credit. That is okay. Also true for the commercial entity that owns these residential installs. The commercial entity gets the tax credit, but the cost to the homeowner is 30% lower.
All right. But if they do I'll just use the phrase, the equivalent of a lease is the closest I can come to that. And again, as you've made the point, it's not that common in Maine, but to my mind, we have covered community solar farms here and maybe I was a proponent for a while and I'm not so sure I am now. But having solar panels on your own roof is a significant difference between having it somewhere else where you never know what could happen. And again, if you get a discount and then can purchase it, that to me is not a bad model to go on. So a work in progress, it sounds like there. All right. So you say that so commercial installations do get the tax credit. That was a clarification that I didn't have. And you started us down the path of talking about the economics for residences, for individuals' homes in the after the end of the tax credit. Let's start down that path. You start and I've got some thoughts too.
So the tax credit, right? We've been booked out to the end of the year here at Maine Solar Solutions since 2 weeks after the big, beautiful bill was passed. Right. So it took 5 to 10 business days for us to completely book out the rest of our schedule. So I think us and many, many solar companies here in Maine are not available until January.
Right. Right.
So the tax credit is not available basically ongoing for homeowners for direct purchase. What that means for the return on investment for those for that investment, right? What am I going to do? How am I going to get my money back, right? When is this going to pay for itself? What that means is that it's 30% longer, right? So the cost goes up by 30%. If the cost of electricity is the same, then it would take 30% longer for you to recoup the money that you spent on that system. But a couple weeks ago, I think it was 3 weeks ago, the utility here in Maine, CMP, sent out an email outlining their rate increases upcoming. I think sometime in 2026, around September, they're going to go to the board with rate increases that are from years past, right? We've been seeing these press releases from them over the years that there's this big rate increase coming. They took out a bunch of loans for a number of reasons, and those loans are sort of coming home to roost. So those rate increases, if what they said in their email is true, look like around 29% of the rate is going to increase by 29% over the next 5 years. And they're going to roll that out slowly, right? So there's going to be an incremental increase every year equaling 29%. My understanding is that this is before any other increases that would be incurred due to large storms and stranded costs and things like that over the next 5 years. So we're sort of looking at a baseline of a 29% increase, which basically nullifies from a return on investment point of view, right? It nullifies the loss of the tax credit when you're doing ROI calculations. It doesn't change how much capital you have to find, right? You still need to find 30% more capital upfront, but the speed at which you recoup that money is about the same, a little bit slower than it was before the tax credit went away. So this is really what I mean by inevitable, right? The rising cost of electricity across the country due to things like AI and car chargers and heat pumps, there's no getting away from this, right? We're using more energy and more electricity with the solutions that we're bringing into our homes and the the technification of everything in our lives. And it becomes impossible to produce that energy in a way that is effective if we're not putting solar all over our properties. So that's why we think, you know, I sort of believe in this industry in a way that is not founded in incentives.
All right. I totally agree. And in fact, CMP has not presented, and there was a hearing at the PUC about the CMP proposal. I was there in Freeport last night. There's another one in Hollowell today. It has not been formally presented to the CMP, to the PUC, but what the commission chairman said was that they do anticipate a decision, as you just said a moment ago, in September or October of 2026. And so it is certainly coming. You just commented that CMP claims that they've taken out loans and they need to recoup those dollars. According to a speaker last night, they made a profit of $168 million last year.
Wow.
And, I can't verify that, but that's what was commented on at the hearing. Wow. So one thing that I think is important, and I've said this literally, I mean, I'm the former sustainability director for a small college in the state of Maine where I gave talks, and I still do give talks about solar power. In fact, I just gave one at a Third Act meeting in Durham a couple of weeks ago. And one thing that I always stress, and it seems to surprise people, is that the concept of payback doesn't mean that you're not going to get anything back for 9 years. And I've had people say that to me, I'm not going to get any benefit for 9 years. And if you think about it for a second, if a 9-year payback means that you've offset 100% of your cost, that means on day one, you are making an 11% return with right. no risk. And the return goes up because the electricity cost continues to go up.
Right.
And to me, given the status of the crazy stock market right now, 11% is unbelievable with no risk. And as you said, the return on investment is going to decrease at least for a while until the CMP rate continues to go up. But if it's not 11%, if it's 8 or 9%, that's still no risk. And where else can you get that with no risk? And so
I want to add a little bit to that as well. Something that is often overlooked about solar, that when you think about investments, you often think about the stock market, right? And so it's easy to correlate when you think of those percentages, like 11% versus what can I get in the stock market? It's important to remember that when you gain in the stock market, you pay taxes. When you invest in solar, you do not pay taxes on them, right? These are post-tax dollars, right? That you've invested and post-tax dollars that you are gaining, right? When you don't pay your utility bill, that's money that you don't have to pay taxes on. So there's an extra chunk there that's hard, when you talk about 11% versus, an average gain in the stock market, remember that there's no taxes.
I have thought of that before, but I have frankly forgotten about it. And that is an important, really important point as well. So we're down to about 4 minutes. So I think we are kind of where we want to be here in terms of making the case to the listeners. I'm going to put you on the spot here and ask you the question. Do you see that the cost of installation will drop at all when the solar tax credit goes away in the interest of companies continuing to maintain their business?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I guess
we have already started tightening our belt, right? So we started tightening the belt immediately after July. And we've been, right now, we are doing everything we can to not let our employees go. And so that is the first order of business, is to make sure that we can operate at the same size, right? And as soon as we know that we can do that, we will start to try to beat up our manufacturers and distributors for pricing, better pricing, right? We're already looking at better incentive structures and sort of like finding ways to get money cheaper. And then, you know, we've done a lot of work over the last three or four months to shave down on our overhead where we can without cutting humans, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first steps. And I think if we're doing that kind of stuff, I'm sure we're going to see that out of the other big players in the solar market in Maine. And eventually that leads to cost at least going down relative to the cost that it was before. Maybe the actual dollars don't go down. Maybe it stays the same, but over time that's the same as it decreasing.
Right. Right. And you're, so I think taken together, I mean, if a little bit of efficiency can, additional efficiency can sneak into the industry, and we know that there's going to be big increases in electrical costs. I mean, CMP's 29%, as you just said, doesn't even count the fact that, you know, the huge draw from the AI industry is going to continue to drive it up as well. I mean, the solar demand in the United States has been flat for 20 years, and suddenly it's going up 5% a year. It's just, it's crazy stuff. And so to me, solar panels are just a question of sustainability and being prepared. And I think that's important. So last question for you. To me, there is and part of the reason that I wanted to have this program, there's a psychological issue that people see the solar tax credit going away. And, you know, in 2026, I suspect there's going to be lower demand unless we can really sell the things we're talking about here. So there's a psychological issue to me that the demise of the tax credit creates. In 11 years ago, when I put solar on my camp, there was a small rebate. I don't remember what it was actually coming back from Efficiency Maine. What about the possibility in the minute remaining, you think that Efficiency Maine or some other mechanism that I haven't thought of could work to overcome the psychological loss of that 30%? Does that question make sense?
Yeah. You know, it would help. Anything would help. But and money specifically helps, right? A lot. But in reality, what we're looking for is news. And eyeballs, right? Getting eyeballs on this problem and the fact that it doesn't really affect the ROI. The other thing I want to mention before we go is that Maine is getting its first AI data center in Aroostook County. I think that press release went out this morning.
That's been approved?
I don't know if it's been approved, but they're in talks. It's real now. So
wow.
This is right. That kind of news. That's what I'm talking about, right? It's really just like the more we talk about this, the more people are aware of what's happening, the easier this is.
All right. Well, great conversation, and I wish we had more time, and maybe we will try for another one here in a bit. But you've been listening to Power for the People here on WERU-FM 89.9 in Blue Hill and in Bangor with guest Aaron Carterfield, Director of Business Development for Maine Solar Solutions in Freeport. Power for the People airs the fourth Friday of the month in the public affairs time slot at 4:30. Please join us next time to learn more about energy topics, policy, technology, solutions for your life. Thanks very much, Aaron.
Thank you, Steve.